I'm Dr. Kavitko. A lot of people ask me if I'm accepting new patients. They know I've been practicing for 34 years, so they assume I'm not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. I do accept new patients. After all, if I'm doing my job correctly, I get my patients healthy, so all they need is routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. So that leaves me free to take care of you. So yes, I do accept new patients, and I would love to treat you, your family, and your friends. Give my office a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com. Or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kavitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kavitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. Hey, thank you so much for joining me today. It's going to be a great day. Sun's not up yet, but it will be soon, at least where I sit. Today, in honor of the NHL All-Stars Weekend in Columbus, we're going to take a look at the number of traumatic tooth and mouth injuries in the NHL. Because you might remember that last week we had Dr. Deborah Mendel on the show. She's the dentist to the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, and she's responsible for making the athletic mouth guards for the football, basketball, and lacrosse teams. So today we're going to take a look at mouth injuries in the NHL, where the players almost never take precautions, such as wearing those mouth guards, which obviously I believe they should, and I'm sure Dr. Mendel would believe that they should. Today is episode 368, and we are streaming live video as well, and you can access that by going to dentallyspeaking.com, and on the top right, there's a little thing that tells the time that the show airs, which is actually still wrong, I believe. But anyway, if you, it doesn't look like a clickable link, but if you click on it, you'll bring up the live video so you can watch us do the show as well. And if you go there, you'll be able to see some photos that we're scrolling through of hockey injuries to several NHL players over time. All right, so we think that's pretty cool. If you would go to Dr. Kavitko, our website, it's Dr. Kavitko and Associates on Facebook, you know, and like us, we would appreciate that. We'd like that. All right. So I'm going to start with an article that I found that was written by Brian Hedger. He is an NHL.com correspondent, and it's from 2010. So we're going to kind of move forward in time. We're going to start with this, and then we're going to see how some of the attitudes are slowly changing now that it's 2015. But let's start with this information from 2010. All right, so out of Chicago, Duncan Keith sat behind his podium at Thursday's Media Day, still half mumbling answers after losing seven teeth in the clinching game of the Western Conference Finals. Seven teeth. By the way, if you've had your wisdom teeth out, you only have 28. So he lost almost a fourth of his teeth in one game. And he returned to play a few shifts after being hit in the mouth with a clearing attempt this past Sunday, and asked why NHL players don't wear full-face cages like their college counterparts. He answered, "I don't know, that's a good question." And then he went on to say that, "I think it just comes down to the fact that it's a fast-paced game, it can be violent, and there's some risk involved in everything you do. That's the way it goes sometimes, I guess." So that was his attitude back then. Keith went on to say wearing a full cage isn't necessary the be-all to end-all answer to facial injuries in hockey, citing lacerations on his chin in college despite wearing a cage at Michigan State. He also said wearing cages invariably leads to more high sticks, meaning the stick gets kind of cupped underneath the cage, and flying elbows and other dangerous maneuvers by players who feel protected from harm. But that's coming from a guy who now has seven teeth gone. Could a full cage or shield have saved those? You know, he goes, "I don't know." He goes, "Maybe it would have, but I really don't care," which is, you know, really amazing to me that you don't care. You just had seven teeth knocked out. Now, his comment drew some laughs, but his disregard for his dental well-being is common among hockey players, especially professionals, some of whom consider plastic visors to be pushing the envelope. Players for both the Blackhawks and the Philadelphia Flyers were asked on Thursday about the use of face shields, and to a man, they agreed that full face cage, like those in college, will never be mandatory or common in the NHL. And I think the reason is because the league can't implement it without the approval of the Players Association. So it's really up to the players to say whether they do or don't want to wear these cages, which, of course, back here in 2010, they were definitely against. Now, the reasons that they cite that they don't want cages is that they simply are simply too proud, that they think it's part of hockey tradition. While others don't want to be different than their peers, some are reluctant to limit their vision, which can happen when full plastic shields that kids use get fogged up. I know about that because my son played, you know, peewee hockey, squirt, midget, all that stuff, and he did have a shield, and we had special spray that we would have to keep spraying on his mask to keep it from fogging up. Yeah, so we wouldn't want like a 7-player pileup because it was foggy that morning, you know. Now, here it is, though. There are other things, though. There are a number of reasons. The thing is about, it's not just tooth injury and mouth injury. It's also a person's eyes, you know. So a lot of players are wearing these half visors. Usually they don't do it until after they get an eye injury. So Hawks forward Troy Brower decided to wear a visor after getting hit in the eye with a slap shot in his first NHL exhibition game. Flyers forward Scott Hartnell opted for one after getting clipped in the eye with a high stick during his second year in the league. And then there's young Hawks forward Brian Bickle, who wears a visor that might have saved his career while he played for Rockford in the AHL last year. Bickle was hit in the visor with a slap shot from teammate Jordan Hendry, which cracked the plastic and knocked Bickle out of action. He said, "I had a bleeding in my eye, and I was out for a month. Thank God I had a visor on." Bickle's front teeth don't get quite the same protection. Bickle said they were initially knocked out in junior hockey after being hit by a helmet during a collision. He replaced them with implants. And I'm thinking about this. I was reading this the other day. I don't think they were implants. I think they might have been replaced with post and cores, because it says that they, after he replaced them with implants, it says, but those kept getting knocked loose. And implants don't get knocked loose. So I think he's using the wrong word. So he now has what he calls a flipper, because that's what we call it, which is just a little removable appliance that has some teeth on the front, has a plastic thing that goes up in the roof of your mouth, and it, it's there's really no clips. It just put it in when you want to smile and take it out when you don't. But anyway, so that's what he's wearing, and he takes it out when he plays. So there's going to be all these photographs of this guy with his missing teeth. All right, so he goes, it was just the puck that got him to this point. It wasn't just the puck that got him to this point either. When I was in Guelph, there was a faceoff at the dot. The puck went in, and the linesman was waving off when he clotheslined me in the mouth. The linesman, the ref. I lost more bits and pieces of my teeth, and after that I was like, I've got to get rid of these. He called them implants. And every time I turn around, I'm getting them knocked out. So a full cage probably would have worked, but Bickle doesn't favor it. He is being a scrapper. That might be part of the reason. Fighting is implemented into junior hockey and the NHL, and you're really not able to fight with cages on, Hawks forward Troy Brower said. If you do get into a fight, no one's going to want to hurt their hands. It isn't fair that both guys' faces are exposed. So basically what he does is they take their helmet off. So if they're wearing a cage, they take it off for the fight, and they're going to get a tooth knocked out with a punch anyway. Isn't that weird that these guys feel that way? So anyway, he says it's part of the game. I play tough enough to where I drop the mitts. When you square off, you're wearing a visor, you take the helmet off. Flyers teammate Ian LaPrière does the same, but for the rest of the playoffs, he is actually wearing a full face cage. He's quick to point out, though, that it's strictly by doctor's orders. A shot in the conference quarterfinals against New Jersey hit him just above the right eye, causing a brain contusion and a concussion. It was the second time this season that he'd caught a puck to the face while attempting to block a shot. The first happened early in the season and cost him 7 teeth, like Keith. Wow, another guy that lost 7 teeth. The scarier one was the one that hit above his eye. He said, I thought I was blind for about 10 minutes. I thought I lost my eye. That's enough. 2 in 1 year. Took me 15 years to get one in the face, but 2 in 1 year? That's when I said, I'm going to wear a half shield next year. And the deal with the doc is this year a full cage now. So he has a deal with his doctor, which is kind of cool. Finally, he's listening. LaPrière still remains adamant that each player should have a choice, though, about visors. The league has asked players to vote on making them mandatory in the past, and LaPrière always votes no. You won't see a full shield on me any time unless you see an injury, he said. They ask us every year if wearing shields should be mandatory. I always vote no, and I'm still going to say no. It should be your choice. If a guy doesn't want to wear one, then he accepts the consequences like I did. All right, well, that's what he was thinking, at least in 2010. Now, Here is an article by Emma Mooney. And I'm trying to see what we're going to do is we're going to do Dr. Kavicko's question of the day soon. So I wanted to get this in. An athlete has a 10% chance of receiving a dental injury every season of play. Get this, 5 million teeth are knocked out in sports-related injuries every year in the United States. That's more than car accidents and violence combined. You need to remember that for Dr. Kavicko's question of the day. Isn't that amazing? 5 million teeth and a 10% chance every year you play. And so I'm trying to think, Gordie Howe played for 34 years. So he had, what, 40% chance of losing teeth. And I think he actually did. All right, so yeah, we're going to do Dr. Kavicko's question of the day, but before we do, we'd like you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavicko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavicko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavicko's question of the day.
I was scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of dentists and the dark. Oh.
Okay, and let me remind folks that when we do Dr. Kavicko's question of the day, people have a chance to win free flowers from Weisnummer Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The question of the day is, the number of teeth knocked out in sports-related injuries in the United States each year is greater than the number knocked out in car crashes and violence combined. What is the number of teeth that get knocked out? Is it A, 100,000, B, 2 million, C, 5 million, that was a 5, I squeaked, and or D, 20 million. All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weisnummer Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769, that's 459-9769, so go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicko.
I bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kavicko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavicko.com.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavicko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kavicko. A lot of people ask me if I'm accepting new patients. They know I've been practicing for 34 years, so they assume I'm not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. I do accept new patients. After all, if I'm doing my job correctly, I get my patients healthy, so all they need is routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. So that leaves me free to take care of you. So yes, I do accept new patients, and I would love to treat you, your family, and your friends. Give my office a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavicko.com.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kavicko, let's go! Yeah!
I'm gonna love you with my hands, Dad. Show me your teeth.
Tell me when.
Show me your teeth.
Open your mouth, boy.
Show me your teeth.
Show me what you got.
Show me your teeth.
All right, we're back. We are doing Dr. Kavicko's question of the day. Or actually, let me just restate the question. And it was that there are several, there are a number of teeth knocked out in sports-related injuries in the United States each year. And it's that number happens to be greater than the number knocked out in car crashes and violence combined. And the question was, how many teeth are knocked out each year? And the answer, which we were talking to Amanda off the air, Amanda was our winner today. The answer is C, 5 million. 5 million teeth knocked out each year in the United States. That's just amazing. When I'm thinking about the cost of that, the cost of repairing those, because an implant is right around $2,000, just a little over, and a crown that goes on it is about another, you know, $1,800 to $2,200. That's 4,000 times 5 million. I can't do that math in my head, but what would that be, like 2 billion or something? or 200 million? Anyway, probably should do the math, but the point of this is wear a cage wear your mouth guard, wear a visor, wear something, because it's just, the teeth are just too precious. You only get one set, you know? And it's amazing how the your smile can affect everything that you do in life. So, anyway, all right, well, congratulations to Amanda. We'll make sure they get out on Tuesday. Okay, so now, we were talking about this article, this one by Emma Mooney, the one that we gave us that stat. It basically was NFL versus NHL, which league claims more teeth? And just so you know, the answer is the NHL. But there have been quite a few toothless wonders in the NFL also. 49ers legend Bob St. Clair once lost 5 teeth from another player's kick while trying to block with his head, but he continued playing. Many other players have lost, damaged, or chipped their teeth during a game. Larry Wilson, Jack Lambert, Vince Lombardi. Most teams keep a dentist on standby these days. Dr. Dan Matthews is the dentist with the New England Patriots and goes everywhere with his team wherever in case of a dental emergency would arise. And I always wonder about that because, well, more and more stadiums are actually adding dental rooms. But I don't think Dr. Matthews is licensed in California, for example, or licensed in Minnesota. And I don't know what the rules are if he's working on a player in Minnesota, even if it is in the visitor's locker room. But that's up to the dental board to worry about, I guess. I know that, you know what, that's, I think I do know the answer. I'm allowed to get, like, a temporary license. So if I do a charitable event and I want to do some free dentistry in Kentucky, I can write the dental board in advance with about a 3-week notice, get a temporary license, and I would be allowed to do that, assuming they grant it. So maybe the NFL and NHL offices could have that, like, in advance. They could write that letter at the beginning of the year. It says, we're going to be in Minnesota on this Sunday, and we're going to be in, you know, California on this Sunday. All right. So, Dr. Dan Gowdy, team dentist with the Sharks, estimates that a whopping 75% of sharks have some sort of crown or prosthesis in their mouth, some kind of replaced tooth, 3/4 of them. He says everything's flying out there, and that's a problem. Pucks, sticks, elbows. Pretty much everyone in this room has lost something, so you guys get walking around here with missing teeth. It just happens, they said. Now, there's an interesting little story, kind of a sub-story to that 2013 year, because it says the toothless grin has been associated with the NHL. Picture Bobby Clark lifting the Stanley Cup with no front teeth. Yahoo even has a blog dedicated to the lost teeth of the playoffs. They call it Lost Fangs of the Playoffs, keeping count of the number of teeth that were lost during the games. So in 2013, there were a total of 16 teeth lost in this one playoff series. 16 teeth in one playoff series. So then they went ahead and they did a count, and I thought we would, if we had time, we would do some of it. So, let's do this. Jokes aside, losing a teeth really is no laughing matter. Luckily, players have dental coverage, unlike the 100 million Americans that don't. And so they probably don't have to worry about the cost, so that's actually good for them. But, the cost is close to about $4,000 in a tooth. And what, 16 teeth? $4,000? I can't do that math this morning either. Anybody do that math? Can somebody? Maybe I'll get my producer to do that math for me. 4,000 times 16. $6,400. No, $64,000. Okay, it's a $64,000 question. And you guys got it. Good deal. Okay, so now I want to move forward because I don't want to run out of time and not be able to cover this. So let's move forward to an article written by Joe LaPointe in January of 2014. So just a year ago. Brian Gionta of the Devils swung his stick during a recent game in Buffalo, inadvertently striking the mouth of Alexis Zytnek of the Sabres. Martin Brodeur, the Devils goalie, recalls vividly what happened next. He just spit out like 3 or 4 teeth. And he was so mad, he just threw his teeth on the ice and skated away, and the blood started to gush down. And he goes like, wow, that's amazing. And disdain for dental consequences of hard collisions on the ice has long been the norm in National Hockey League. For decades, the image of hockey players, especially those unfamiliar with the sport, involved men with large gaps in their smiles. It was and still is an easy stereotype for wisecracks and quips. Even among athletes, some players refer to dental damage as spit and chiclets because of the front teeth referred to as chiclets, that gum. But players' attitudes to where their teeth are evolving, as is hockey dentistry. In amateur hockey, players must wear either mouth guards or face masks or both, and so most players now reach the NHL with most of their teeth intact. Once there, an increasing number of players are wearing custom-made mouth guards, which dentists say reduce injuries, and those who have broken teeth are having them fixed sooner than in the past and with better techniques and materials. So see, we fast-forwarded about 4 years, and it's looking a little bit better. And of course, we talked about mouth guards last week. Players who have lost teeth are now more conscious of appearance. Before television interviews, they put in their dental appliances to avoid displaying their missing teeth, as some did in the past. Dr. Bill Henry, the dentist of the Ottawa Senators, referred to famous old photographs when he said, "It's not that Bobby Hull, Bobby Clark era anymore." Dr. Rick Lawson, dentist for the Phoenix Coyotes, said it has been a macho thing in the past to be proud of missing teeth. They receive a lot of positive reinforcement from guys in the locker room and other people saying, "This guy must be tough because he's missing so many teeth." One person aware of the trends in teeth is the president of the International Ice Hockey Federation, Dr. René Fasel of Switzerland. He is also a dentist. During the World Championships in 1994, when Joe Sakic of Canada lost several teeth in a game in Italy, the Canadian team called Dr. Fasel to repair the teeth. He said, "People laugh about that, but when you can help people, it's a good thing." So he wasn't really there in the capacity of being a dentist, but he was there, so he fixed the guy up. The loss of a tooth is a serious event for anyone at any age, even the baby teeth of childhood that are put under pillows for the tooth fairy and saved in scrapbooks by parents. Bobby Holick of the Rangers said that he does not like it when television sports highlight shows present hockey accidents for laughs. "People go, wow, wow, wow," he said. "I'll tell you what, if you're on the receiving end of it, it's no wow, wow. It's a tough part of the game and it's no fun." About 60% of the NHL players now wear mouth guards, compared with 48% only 2 years ago. And this is according to the NHL's injury analysis panel, whose chairman is the former goalie, Dave Dryden. The league now recognizes a team dentist association which meets annually at the All-Star Game right here in Columbus. The agenda often includes discussions on the techniques for making better mouth guards. And it also says that they discuss the dental chairs, which are becoming more common in first aid rooms, particularly in newer arenas. And we talk about interesting cases and troubleshooting on different pathology and trauma. Dryden said the league has only recently begun to compile reliable data about dental injuries and to correlate them with the use of mouth guards. Players don't miss many games based on dental injuries, he said, and actually that's the basis that players tend to take more risks in that area, because they figure, "I'm not going to be knocked out of the game, so, you know, why worry about wearing a cage or something?" Should the statistics prove a relationship between mouth guards and dental safety, Dryden said the league's general managers could consider making mouth guards mandatory. All of this comes too late for Ken Danieko, who retired last summer after 20 seasons as a Devils defenseman. Because of high sticks, flying pucks, and punches in the mouth, he lost 12 front teeth during his career, 7 lower and 5 upper. That makes him unofficially the league champion, I guess. Hey, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this, but we also have an interesting connection to winged flight and mouth injuries. You're going to hear when I come back. It's amazing. There's a chance that a mouth injury could have helped us have winged flight. All right, listening to Dentally Speaking, we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we pride ourselves in being a one-stop shop, and we find our patients really appreciate it. Let's face it, no one likes being sent all over town for various procedures, and yet that is what happens at most dental offices. Need a root canal? We do that. Need a dental implant placed? We do that. Need gum surgery, wisdom teeth removed, or your teeth straightened? We do those as well. Why not give us a try? Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. I'm intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in my vocabulary. I just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume that high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains, but with us, you get my 34 years of experience and my unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko at aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kvitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Ooh, Jagger. You wanna know
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Kvitko. This is Dentally Speaking. Thank you for joining me today. We are talking about mouth and tooth injuries in the NHL in honor of the NHL All-Star Weekend in Columbus. And so let's get back to Ken Danienko. So Danienko said he planned to capitalize on his condition. A video crew will be making a documentary as an oral surgeon fills his gums with implants and permanent bridges. When finished, he said, he will become a smiling commercial spokesman for cosmetic dentistry. So that's pretty cool. He says, I'm taking advantage of 20 years of getting my teeth destroyed. I'm going to get them done nicely. I'm going to get porcelain the whole nine yards. He says, I was one of the worst cases, but if that's the worst that can happen, I guess I'm all right. All right, now, when Gordie Howe broke in with the Detroit Red Wings in 46, he scored a goal and lost four teeth in his very first game. Can you imagine that? Four teeth in your very first game? But he did not lose another tooth in his career that ended 34 years later. Boy, talk about beating those odds, huh? He said, I learned to play religious hockey. It's better to give than to receive. So apparently he decided he was going to give the checks rather than receive them. Okay, now, players' interest in their dental well-being is expressed in a variety of ways. They sometimes joke about the damage to emphasize their toughness. For instance, players call Dr. Irvin Miller, the veteran Ranger dentist, Miller the Driller. When Danny Markov of the Carolina Hurricanes lost three teeth this season after being hit by an opponent's stick, his teammate Rod Brind'Amour decided to help out. He stick-handled two of the teeth back to the bench. He picked up the teeth with a stick. Before the Stanley Cup Finals last spring, Jean-Sebastien Gere of Anaheim visited Jay Leno on The Tonight Show, and Jay Leno said, you don't look like a hockey guy, Leno said. You have teeth and everything. And Jaguar replied, I'm a goalie. I've got a mask. So good for him. Goalies get to wear masks. All right. Now, let's talk about this winged flight thing, because I think it's pretty cool. Some people even theorize that the loss of teeth in a hockey game affected the course of scientific history. 17 years before Wilbur and Orville Wright flew their first airplane, Wilbur lost a few teeth in a pickup game of hockey on the ice in his hometown of Dayton, Ohio. According to several biographers, Wright's mouth was clipped by another player's stick. During his recovery, he encountered physical and psychological complications and chose to stay at home instead of attending Yale. We've heard so much about the Wright brothers weren't even college educated. They just were, you know, high school, maybe even dropouts, and they just, you know, they're kind of smart and did their calculations at home in their bicycle shop. And so so instead of going to Yale, he sat home and he read scientific books and journals. Dr. Tom Crouch, the senior curator for aeronautics at the National Air and Science Museum in Washington, said the hockey accident is absolutely important in Wright's life. Don Dewey, the head of special collections and archives at Wright State University in Dayton, said of Wright, quote, in photographs, you rarely see him smiling. He never has an open mouth. And I know that that's a sign of people who are embarrassed about their smile. I see it all the time in people that before we do their makeover and after we do their makeover. In fact, okay, so then it said during his recovery, he read extensively, but is it a reach to say that the loss of his teeth in a hockey game led to the invention of the airplane? And according to Don Dewey, she said he had plenty of time to read and study. The hockey accident set the stage that led to his intense interest in flight. So go figure. A hockey injury is the reason we can get on a jet and go to an away game, a hockey game, and that the teams can get here in just a couple hours instead of having to take a horse and buggy, I guess, or whatever they would have done. Because at that point they did have cars because, you know, the first flight was 1907, and cars, of course, predated that. So I think that's very, very cool. And it looks like we are out of time. So don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Kvitko. Be sure to join me next Sunday and every Sunday right here on your favorite station. Goodbye. I bought a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes, and a case. I said to my reflection. This is
Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.